Father, we give you the praise. You are the God who holds our future. Our eyes are upon you. All of our hope is in you. Blessed be your name for the future that we have in you. Be thou glorified in Jesus' name. Give the Lord the praise as you take your seat. You are the future. Welcome everyone here this morning to this beautiful service in God's presence. I believe it is the day the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. And I believe that not one person will leave here the same way they have come. In Jesus' precious name. Someone say a loud amen. This morning, last Sunday, if you remember, we went on the subject of beyond being blessed. We'll recap a little bit on it and being a blessing. Today, we are looking at maximizing the blessing beyond tithes and giving. Maximizing the blessing beyond tithes and giving. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and in verse 8. He said, the Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall command the blessing in all thy storehouses. Our objective this morning is twofold, and the first is to understand what to do to maximize and multiply the blessing of God in our lives. And the second is to understand what to do beyond tithing and giving. I want to start by saying two things. That is, God has the plan of not just blessing his people, but turning them into generational blessings. We saw that last Sunday. God has the plan of not just blessing his people, but turning them into generational blessings. We said we have been ordained or designed not just to exist as containers of the blessing, but as channels of the blessing. Not just containers of the blessing, but as channels of the blessing. That is still under this first point. We have been designed by God not just to exist as stationary dams or pools of the blessing, but to exist as flowing streams, rivers, or oceans of the blessing. What God endeavors to do with us is not what is stationary, not stationary pools, not stationary dams, but flowing streams, flowing rivers, flowing oceans. Actually, God's plan, according to Malachi chapter 3 verse 10, is to pour us out a blessing or blessings that have no room big enough to contain. Blessing where there is no room big enough to contain. So the plan is not to move from breakthrough to breakthrough. Thank God I got a breakthrough. Thank God I became successful. Thank God I just got a job. And then you finish spending that money or that job. And then you wait for another job. Then you move again. Then everything returns back down. Then you move again. No. The second thing I want to say this morning is that there are scriptural principles beyond fighting and giving that guarantee the multiplication of the blessing. Scriptural principles beyond fighting and giving that guarantee the multiplication of the blessing of God. There are many people in church who don't understand the covenant practices or principles of giving, or the principles of you made a pledge to God, or you said to God, I will do this, and then God does that, like the man who testified. But there are others also who are very faithful givers, very faithful fighters, but nothing changed. Until they begin to feel as if somebody is duping them, or somebody is lying to them. They say, we should tithe. I have been tithing and nothing is changing. But there are many who have been tithing where it is plus one minus one. They tithe and they give and they pledge and they sacrifice and do everything, but they do exactly everything else that makes it impossible for them to prosper. I'll deal with one of the subjects what this our brother testified about, which is the life of indebtedness. I'll deal with that next Sunday, probably. Because I spoke with a billionaire man. He said he had $1 billion, it was worth at least $1 billion before he took a loan. He has paid over that $1 billion now, and the loan has not been paid. Yes, he hasn't finished yet. They have been restructuring and doing all manner of things. They almost acquired the asset that took him to the loan. The major objective of the bank is to carry what he used as collateral. That's bank work. He said, please warn the brethren. Any money they have should be enough for what they want to do. Hallelujah. So, what are those things you have tithed, you have done what scripture said you should do. I'm going to enumerate about 10 of them, but I'm going to look at probably 5 this morning. I'll take the A part in the first service and then the second service. Number one, possess visions and goals of excess. Vision and goals of excess or abundance. Excess. Don't possess vision and goals of survival. I will deal with that in the second service. Possess vision and goals of excess. In Genesis chapter 13 and in verse 14 and verse 15, God speaking, and it's to Abraham, and the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, all, I am not going to be the limit of your supply, Abraham. I am not going to be the limit of your possession. Your vision will limit your possession. If you don't have it, Abraham, it's not because I can't give it. It's because you can't see it. Did you hear what I just said? If you don't have it, Abraham, it is not because I can't give it. It is because you can't see it. All the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it. If all you are seeing is how to get a car and get a house in Metama or Asokoro, and how to have a visa and travel outside and come and get a house for your wife and children, if that is all you see, that is all you will have. But if you see where you want to be the breadwinner of thousands of people, where you are not just seeing survival, where you are seeing where you have institutions and organizations employing thousands of people, and where the money you are trusting God for is not money that is just to make your life comfortable, but money that is going to wipe the tears of a generation. Money that is going to forcefully take the gospel to nations of the world. If that is what you are looking for, that is what you will have. I have never seen supply as a challenge. Rohard Bonnke said, I never plan according to my pocket. I plan according to the size of his pocket. One pastor said to me, he said, three crusades in 1 week, four crusades in 1 week. Excellent crusade. I mean, if you look at it, you see the stage, you see the lighting, you see everything, and then you see the multitudes, you see the crowd, you see everything. Once you look at it, it is speaking money. You say, if we will all would like to do crusades, but how do you get the money to do it? If you can see it. If you can see it. Everything. Transportation, air, flight movement, all manner. So that is where it starts from. Where somebody is just having the vision. All I am looking for, let my bills be paid. All I am looking for, let me be able to pay my house rent, or at least get a house of my own. If that is what is in your mind, or that is what is in your vision, you will never be able to exceed that. That is if you reach that. Example was the life of Abraham. Now if you look at Genesis 37 and in verse 6 to verse 7, you look at the life of Joseph. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves arose, stood round about, and made obeisance to my sheaf. Now, these were bundles of harvest. That is when you hear sheaf, it's bundles of harvest, bringing in the sheaves. He that goeth out with precious seed shall doubtless return back with his sheaves, with his harvest. Psalm 126 is talking about the harvest. So, as a child, the vision that was in the mind of Joseph was the vision of harvest. If you don't see harvest as a child, you will experience famine as an adult. If the harvest is not in your vision today, the scarcity will be your reality tomorrow. So there is a connection between what you see and what God does. Ephesians chapter 3 and in verse 20. He said, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I preached on the subject of vision the other day. And 30 something years ago, maybe 34, 35 years ago, around my finals in the university, I wrote my vision in our class yearbook. What is it you are looking forward to? I said, saturating the earth, going around the earth with the tangible, strange manifestations of the power of God. It was in the vision 30 something years ago. I placed it on the screen last Wednesday. And 30 something years later, you are going to Panama. You are going to the Philippines in three cities. Right? With strange manifestations of the power of God. They are calling us in Fiji Island. Have you heard of it? Solomon Island. Vanuatu. Have you heard the name of such a country before? All in the Pacific Ocean. By the time you leave here and reach Australia, your journey started. They have lined up three meetings in three different countries. I believe it's the month of October. November. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You saw it 30 something years ago. And now it is happening in reality. And it is happening with the provision that makes it happen. Because vision is the magnet of provision. If it is seeable, no devil can make it impossible to be realizable. In the name of Jesus, I want us to begin to look beyond just personal survival, just personal success. I want us to begin to look beyond just personal achievement. That is number one. And I'm going to race because of time. Number two, be diligent. Be a hard workman or workwoman. The Lord shall command the blessing upon you. Genesis, Deuteronomy 28 and in verse 8. Upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto, he will command the blessing. Abraham's blessings are mine. Abraham's blessings are mine. I am blessed in the morning. I am blessed in the evening. Abraham's blessings are mine. When we talk about the covenant fathers, they were work people. Work people. I'll take it from the back. Look at Jacob. In Genesis 31 verse 38 to verse 40, you will look at the brutal work. The brutality of Jacob's labor. Look at what he said. He said, these 20 years, he was talking to Laban, I have been with you. Your ewes and your she-goats have not cast their young. And the rams of your flock have I not eaten. What was ton of beast I didn't bring back to you, I bear the loss of it. While I was serving you, anything that went lost, I didn't come to tell you, this is missing, I paid for it. I bear the loss of it. Of my hand thou didst require it, whether it was stolen by day or by night. I'm not coming back to tell you, I'm sorry sir, I have shortage in my sales. I can't tell you, I have to pay for it. He said, thus I was, in the day the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from my eyes. This was the brutal way. He said, this, thus have I been 20 years in your house. This was the brutal way Jacob walked. Day and night. And yet some people are are just moving about in this new generation, hand in pocket, looking for how to become a big man overnight? No, sir. Some say, I've paid my tithe, I give my offering, I'm waiting for God to do his part. Wow. Really? That one may be in a casino joint. You might go and expect such kind of miracle in Kalukalu. Or what do they call it? Lottery. Which is majorly slavery. Because they just enslave you with expectation that you are going to win. You sell a house, you sell everything. At the end of the day, you win. And they say, let me win more. And then they took everything. No, sir. It doesn't work that way. That was Jacob's brutal labor. So if you see Jacob, how he became even richer than his master, it was by labor. What about Isaac? In Genesis 26, verse 17 to 22, Genesis 26, see, Isaac departed thence. He pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar, and he dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servant digged in the valley, and they found there a well of springing water. And the headmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's headmen, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of his Sitna. And he removed from there and digged another well. Do you see? It was more like a fight. And for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now, the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. It is when you engage the enemy like a fight that you arrive at the place of enlargement. Enlargement of territory happens with the engagement of the enemy. Many people have not engaged. You see, you need to walk and fight poverty. You fight the demons of your family that wants you to die like your father. You enter this, you pursue this matter like a fight. Satan, whether you like it or not, I cannot be empty-handed. I have done what I am meant to do. I have paid my dues. I have fulfilled what I am meant, my obligation. I refuse. See, one door closed, you move, you face another. One tries to close, you move, you face another. Another tries to close, you move, you face another. Until work becomes a fight, you don't take a flight. Are you following what I'm saying here? You must become like you are fighting. You are fighting the devils of poverty, devils of empty-handedness, devils of failure at the edge of breakthrough, devils of near success syndrome. You fight it and fight it until your resistance wears out, until your persistence wears out resistance. You don't sit down and you are saying, the devil does not want me to rest. I have done everything and I have not succeeded. Until you have done it, when you have done everything to stand, you stand and keep on moving. Today, I come to blast out every devil of laziness, every devil of tiredness, every devil of weariness, every devil of, I want to give up, nothing is working. I take authority over that devil. It must work! It must work! It must work! Take your seat. I'm going to look for this testimony. We had it in a Kingdom Financial Stewards meeting. One of the men who taught in that Kingdom Financial Stewards meeting. We had it at the event center. He heard that there was the possibility of exporting tatashi. That is the big pepper. The type from the north, exporting it to Europe, the United Kingdom. He heard that there was market for it then. This will be like maybe 30 years ago, that kind of time. So he decided to export it. The first exportation. He sold everything he had to export. The first exportation is spoiled. Second time, he said he washed it with pepper, with soap, so that he can go clean, not knowing that that spoiled it. He did it number one, number two, number three, number four, number five, number six, number seven, number eight, number nine, number ten. All of it spoiled. None produced result. He was still selling and doing things and exporting. Number 11, number 12. By the time it was number 13, bam! He recovered all the money he spent before and made massive, 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 massive profit. From there, he never came down anymore. From there, I can't tell you his details right now. But as at our last discussion, he had owned up to 9 planes. Are you following what I'm saying here today? Are you following what I'm saying here today? Look at the neighbor, say, I am not giving up. It's the devil that will give up. He said, between me and the devil, it's the devil that will be tired. Hey! Hey! Stand up on your feet and shout, I refuse to be tired. I refuse to be tired. That devil shall be tired. Look at the neighbor, say, walk like it is a fight. Walk like it is a fight. Walk like it is a fight. And you will take your flight. I was speaking with somebody yesterday and I said, you see, I was already, I said, the day was fine. I quickly dashed to Abia State yesterday. He said, what? See, I thought you rested the whole day. I said, oh, no. I went to Owerri. And then from Bawere, took a flight chopper to Umaya for a quick program, something, was invited. And then from there, I returned back. He said, really? How is that? Are you not resting? I said, I'm resting. I'm resting by God's grace. And I'm here this morning. And you know how the week was? Intense sons of the prophets meeting. Other things are going on. Crusade is coming next week. Overnight, I slept, I think, about 3 a.m. to be here this morning. After I commanded a midnight prayer. And I'm looking younger than most people. I'm more refreshed. Some of those who are only listening are more tired. Are you following what I'm saying? See, there is no... And then one young man will start and say, that man is lucky. Let me become a pastor too. And he calls himself. He calls himself. And then give himself a bogus title. Senior prophet. Superior apostle. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Meanwhile, we were brutally facing our medical work. I never planned to be a pastor. I didn't want to be classified as those looking for people's money or who has nothing to do with their lives. That's true. Ask God if you see him. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? But walk. Anything you do with your life, medical practice, legal practice, ministerial work, anything you do, if you will confront it with brutal work, the principles will kill the principalities of your family, of your village, because principles of work are superior to principalities. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? They will bury those principalities that say your voice should not be heard. I announce to you today, in the name of Jesus, 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 your voice shall be heard in your generation. Energy for work, receive now. Take your seat. I have three more to go. And time is literally gone. So ensure, be diligent, be a hard workman or workwoman. Number three, possess integrity. Be known as a person of financial integrity. How is that? You are tithing, you are giving. But possess integrity. Be known as a person who has financial integrity. Not the person who will tell stories when it comes to financial matters. Be trustable and you will be entrusted. Is this important? Over important. That was how Joseph, and I'll give you two examples I'm going to be running. Joseph possessed firm integrity, firm financial integrity. And Potiphar handed everything to him. In Genesis chapter 39 verse 5 to verse 6. Genesis 39, 5 to 6. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. Verse. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not what he had except the bread which he ate. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. The man left everything in Joseph's hand and realized that the account was not being forced to balance, and realized that the book and the paper was neat and tidy. Wow. He left everything in Joseph's hand. Potiphar left everything in Joseph's hand. Then Joseph demonstrated integrity in the prison. And the prison officer, which is the same captain of the guard, Potiphar, still left everything in Joseph's hand. And then they took him before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh left everything in Joseph's hand. The integrity of today is the prosperity of tomorrow. Alright, it may appear as if it does not pay to have financial integrity, but at the end of the day you will be shocked. God will open just one door where somebody is looking for a person of integrity. And he found you. And that is it. You will just go to sleep with Joseph in charge. One translation said, Potiphar did not bother about what to eat. About anything except what to eat. That was the story of Job. Job chapter 1, verse 1 and in verse 3. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. His substance was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, a very great household. And this man was also the greatest man in all of the east. All of the East. The greatest man in all of the East. Financial integrity is a foundation for financial authority. Do you know what I mean? Where you are an authority financially. You are an authority financially. That what is not yours, you don't spend. What is not yours, you don't touch. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? This church has been here for 30 years this year. There's no checkbook of the church that is ever in my possession till today. One day I traveled. My wife traveled. I was at home. I found money. I was looking for money because again, my own personal check is in her possession. Not one of my check is in my possession. But she can't sign it. I sign it. And she does not determine what goes out of it. I determine it. Do you understand that? But it's in her possession. So if she's not around me, I am financially almost helpless. ATM card, it's not in my possession. It's in her possession. And even if I have it, I'm not using it. I have never put an ATM. Have I put once in my life and put ATM and say, te, money come out? That is how free I am from money. Coach, he traveled one day and I was only left at home and I was looking for money to buy something small. And I saw money by the side of the side, what do you call it now? The side table of the bed, on her side of the bed. And I looked and I saw the money. I called her, I said, I am in need of money now to just buy something or something. But there is some money on the side, on your side of the bed. I think, I don't know whether it's 10,000 or 20,000. There's some money there. I don't know who has it. But I just wanted to know what that money is for and what it is about. He said, oh yeah, why not take it and use anything? After all, every money around there is, I mean, you gave me the money, so just take it. Use it. Do you, in your house, in your bedroom, you are taking permission from your wife who is out of town to take money by the bed. So, you heard the story, what did you say? You hear this, he say, hear the story before the glory. So, God cannot be afraid to hand over to you, if possible, billions, because he knows nothing will miss. There are some thieves that cannot sit in this kind of place. So many of them think everybody is stealing, because they will steal if they are there. Do you understand what I'm saying? If God will usher you to the realm of financial authority, there must be financial integrity. One of our young men here, young boy that I encourage, I said, go and finish school. You can't be a young man hanging around. What's your plan? And pay this way to finish university. The kind of person that is just hanging around here and there. And then one day, he got interest in a particular line of business. And then somebody said, I want you to buy me a house. And he bought the person. The person sent him money. And he bought the house. And there was a balance. And he has about 500 million in his possession from that man. And he told the man, he said, your 500 million is still here. And the man said, okay, I will ask you to send it back to me when I want. The man left that money in his hand for almost 1 year, like 9 months. The money remained, about 500 million. He remained with him. You know, there are some people who are not stranded for money. If the 500 million misses, he may not do anything to the man. But he left him. After about 5 months, about 9 months, he said, so that money that I asked you to hold, meanwhile, can you send it to me now? He said, okay, sir. In less than a few minutes, transfer. What? You mean the money has been in your hands all these months? You didn't fix it? Some people say, let me quickly fix it. Let me quickly do forest trade. Let me just quickly. Because you are the only one who know money. Hey, you are the only one who know money. Hey, let me put something, less interest, come out quickly. Before the money what? Turn it over. Let me just quickly turn it. And it's not your own. You can turn your own over. I'm coming to that shortly. Hey, let me fix it for the man. Meanwhile, the interest is his own. He returned the money on the spot. Do you know what? The man sent for me, said, I want to see you. He called him, I think it was Dubai or something. And he introduced him to everybody. He said, you want a reliable man to deal with in Nigeria, right? You want somebody to buy your properties and buy things? See this young man. The man is not married yet, though. See this young man. Deal with him. Everybody rush him. He's now doing project of something billion. With money zero. I see this boy bringing millions as offering. What? You that I'm giving you money, that I paid your school fees. Neat and tidy. He was doing presentation the other day with some expatriates. Young man, And he was in front of them. So this project we can handle, we can do this and that. Neatly take. Integrity will do for you what your certificate will not do. Financial integrity, being able to look away from the money that is not yours, being able to develop the trust of people where people can trust you and they say, you know what, if you want to do anything, do it with this man. You have paid your tithes and you have paid your offerings. You need to have financial integrity so you can be trusted. I am saying this with this level of passion because God wants to do so much in the lives of many people, but his hands are tied. He does not, he can't introduce you to anybody. He can't do so much with you, but that is over forever. That is over forever. By the time we come to the second service, I'll say the second part of this message. But possess integrity. That was the secret of Joseph. That was the secret of Job. God gave everything into Joseph's hand. Just look away and just be behaving like you don't like you don't like man. Just be behaving and not fake. Let it be your character permanently. Possess integrity. Number four, I have one more for this service and then we are done. Number four says, don't spend everything. Dash, maintain a reserve. Some people said, what is the aim of our reserve? We'll come to that later. But don't spend everything. Maintain a reserve. The Bible said in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and in verse 8. Deuteronomy 28 and in verse 8. He said, the Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. In your storehouses, God expects that you have storehouses, places where you are warehousing something. Let me say two things about the reserve. Number one, the storehouse, or what the Bible calls a storehouse or a reserve, is a covenant principle commanded by God to activate supply. It's a covenant principle. It is commanded by God to activate supply. When God knows that you are not a spender of everything, and that you endeavor to put something aside. No. This is 4a. Okay, that's right. It's a covenant principle commanded by God. We saw that in Deuteronomy 28 verse 8. So you are just simply obeying a command. Your storehouses. That is, you receive, let's say you receive the barest minimum of 100,000 a month, or 50,000 a month, or 20,000, even if it is 1,000. Lord, your word say that you will bless my storehouse. Okay, I have opened an account where I'm putting this 1,000. No, see, all right, let me go to the second point. It's a principle. I am obeying you because I believe that if I have where I'm putting something away, your blessing will go there. Today it is 1 naira that went there. Tomorrow it will be 10 naira. Next tomorrow it will be 100 naira. Next tomorrow it will be 10,000. Another day it will be 1,000,000. Another day it will be 100,000,000. Secondly, it is a wisdom principle that delivers from emptiness and lack in life. It's a wisdom principle. It's a wisdom principle. Proverbs 21 and in verse 20. Proverbs 21 and in verse 20. The Bible says there is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but the foolish man spends everything. He spends everything. The wise man keeps something somewhere, but the foolish man spends everything. Spends everything. Spends everything. The principle of the reserve was what saved Egypt in the days of Joseph, when there was 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine. You look at that in Genesis 41 verse 34 to verse 36. He said, let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. Let them gather all the food of those good years that come and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through famine. Put something aside today from the abundance that is coming your way. How somebody can be once a billionaire, once a multimillionaire, and then flattens down, all of a sudden can be a mystery. Do you understand what I'm saying? Put something aside. Somebody said, I'll put some. The something put aside can be in form of cash. It can be in form of liquidatable asset. All right? But something is put down. Something is put aside. Everything is not spent on yourself. Everything is not wasted. It's put aside. I'll come to that in the fifth point. Something is put aside. Something is redirected. You say, but what? I'm not achieving anything. Start. I'll talk about it in the second service, but make it a principle. Just, I am obeying God. He said, I should put something aside. I am putting something aside. He said, it is wisdom to put something aside. I am putting something aside. It's wisdom, so I'm putting something aside. Many people, God wants to bless you, but he says, this one is a waster. He doesn't have any storehouse. Everything that comes his way, he blows it. He just blows it. He keeps blowing things up. That will lead me to point number 5, and we'll stop there today. Number 5 says, be investment minded. So this storehouse now and this reserve can be directed into investment. Alright? That is, at least if I have something aside and a good investment opportunity shows up, I have something saved that can go there. Somebody is wanting to sell a house that can go for $100 million and is trying to sell it for $50 million or $25 million, and you have it already on ground. Somebody says, is that not bad? Since the person is under pressure to sell and is selling it less than the amount, you are not the cause of the pressure. And also, you don't know how he got the money. So that you can free yourself from any consideration of am I not short? No, you have no hand in the challenge. Actually, buying it can be a help to him. Because, I mean, in the first place, we're not planning to buy anything. Hello? At times, it can be more of a help. But that kind of situation, be investment minded. And do you know that Jesus Christ gave us a very, very strong word about this mentality? And before I go ahead, let me place it on record categorically that the main purpose of money is not expenditure, it is investment. It's not expenditure. If you can understand that at the back of your mind, that the reason why money entered your hand first is not to look for what to buy, is not for what can be bought, but how that money can be multiplied, it delivers you a great deal. Look at Luke chapter 19, verse 12 to verse 13. Look at Luke. Just look at Luke. And he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds. And said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizen hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded his servants to be called unto him to whom he had given money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Alright? So, he gave one 10 pounds, he gave another 5 pounds, he gave another 3 pounds. Now, so, 1 pound. And then came the first, saying, Lord, your pound has gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have authority over 10 cities. Right, look, go. And the second came saying, Lord, your pound has gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou, oh, okay, one pound he gave them. Also over 5 cities. And then another came saying, Lord, here is your pound. What you gave me, I didn't invest it, but and I didn't spend it though, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. Look at the way he abused the hell out of the man. For I fear you because you are an austere man, very queer man. You take up what you lay not down and you reap what you did not sow. What? Am I at fault for giving you money? And he said unto him, out of your own mouth will I judge you, you wicked servant. You know I am an austere man. I take up what I lay not down and reap that which I do not sow. Why then did you not give my money into the bank at least? This is one direction towards the bank that is a profitable one. That at my coming, I would have required my own with interest. Two things I want to say. And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound and give it to him that has 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he has 10 pounds. Why should I give it to him? He said, no. That unto everyone which has shall be given, and from him that has not, he is a poor man, but even that which he has shall be taken away from him. Do you know the meaning of that? Let me tell you 3 things from there. Number one, I already said that the purpose of money is not expenditure. The purpose of money is investment. Number two, the least the master expects is to bank money with interest. That's the least. That's, you can do more. There can be something better than that. Massive investment. But that minimum is to bank money with interest. Minimum. That's scripture. And number three, that money will always run, will always travel to those who mismanage in the direction of good managers. Money will always run, flee from bad managers of money into the hands of good managers of money. That's what this scripture said. That the one who has not, remove from him and give to the one who already has. So he said, that's why you hear the saying that the poor are getting poorer and the rich are getting richer. Because most times poor people are doing things that make them remain poor. And rich people are doing things that make them remain rich. You see, a poor person looks at your handbag. Say, that kind of bag, I must achieve it. How much did you buy that handbag? Madam said, I bought it for 100,000. And this person is only earning 50,000. He begins to save and borrow on top to buy a bag. Meanwhile, the person having this bag of 100,000 has millions in the account. He can buy 100 of it at once. But you are saving to go and buy one. That's poor life. So look at the suit pastor is wearing. Wow. The Bible says, I have the song that the Lord has given to me. Well, for signs and for wonders, I have to look like my father in the Lord. I receive it. Meanwhile, he does not know that a pastor will not spend money or resources like that. I'm wearing shoe that I didn't buy myself. I'm wearing watch that I didn't buy myself. Impact is naturally attracting income. Impact. Do you understand what I'm talking about? And they are doing those kind of things. I am happy that the young children are here today. Buying phone of 1.5 million, you are earning nothing. iPhone, something. You see a millionaire holding phone of 1 point something million. A little child. He has not gone to school. In fact, he's still in school. He has earned no salary. He's trusting for his mother's money or father's money to buy him 1.5 million. What a generation. And all is about spending. How much to spend? I need more money to buy the new shoe that my friends, I saw my friends. No, that's not the way to go. That's not the way the elders went. By the time you see a rich man wearing something of 1,000, he has a thousand, but maybe 1,000 times that amount that has not been touched. It hasn't been touched. Am I communicating at all? One of the young men that was coming up, he said, I'm about to buy this kind of car. I said, not now. I know you have the money for it. Not now. Not now. All right? Not now. Keep yourself under radar first. Explode beyond recovery. Then when you emerge, no witch can turn you back. You understand what I'm saying? Just be under the radar. Be under. Just go subterranean. Just go submersible. Just be under. Don't bring your head out of the water yet. Submarine, submersible. Just be under. And then keep on. You are exploding millions of naira, billions. By the time you step forward, I say, where is he coming from? You're already somewhere. Where were you looking? You are wasting your time. Where were we looking before this man came this far? You wasted your time. Am I communicating? There are people who are the ones who offer themselves to witches and wizards. They offer themselves to bitterness and hatred. You have not started and yet you are behaving like you are a billionaire. You are behaving like you are a millionaire. And you don't have any money yet. That's so cool. Akwe Magana. Do you understand what I'm talking about? That is not it. I heard the story of a young lady with $1 million in her account in Europe. She was still taking train. She felt it was not the time. One of our members here, she lives in Australia. She's texted me, says, sir, I want to buy a car. Brand new 2026 model of a particular car. And it's costing like 30 something, or how many million dollars? And I said to her, don't buy it yet. She said, I like it. And I can afford it. It might make life easier for me for now. But I have another option also. I said, okay, so go for the other option first. So she went and did. And then later on she came back and said, that car that I mentioned now, I can afford it many, many, many times now. I said, right. And you say it's to save your money and all. Okay, you can pick it now. If you can afford it more than 2 times, 3 times, 4 times, go ahead and pick it up. If it will save you your money. Do you understand what I'm talking about? She was so grateful for the counsel. Do you understand? By the time you begin to have some things, buy some things, pick some things, then people will know. Right, it is okay that you get it, but don't be in a hurry to show up, and don't be in a hurry to blow up. Stand up on your feet. Hallelujah. You heard something this morning? Stand up on your feet, everybody, everywhere you are. And I'm happy that we are hearing the same thing all over the world right now. But I believe it's a new day for somebody. Be investment minded. Don't spend everything. The conclusion that I will give this morning as we pray, because our time is up. First of all, be faithful in the covenant practice of tithing and giving, because that opens the heaven. Be faithful. Ensure that you do that. Be faithful in the covenant practice of tithing and giving. First, 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7. He that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, but he that soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. It opens the heavens. So be faithful. But beyond that, secondly, but go beyond tithing and giving to make it easy for God to bless you. We saw that in Deuteronomy 28 verse 8. He is commanding the blessing, not just because you tithed, is commanding the blessing because you have a storehouse. He's also commanding the blessing because you have work of hands. You are hardworking. So go beyond the fighting and the giving to make it easy for God to bless you. And finally, thirdly, do the right thing you know to do with all you have got until results explode. The right things, the things I mentioned just now, do the right thing you know to do with all you have got until results explode. Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 9, he said, let us not be weary in well doing. Don't be weary in seeing the vision. Don't be weary in being diligent to walk. Don't be weary in maintaining integrity. Even if it appears like your integrity is not producing result, don't be weary in well doing. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody is blessed. And if you are that one that is blessed, say a loud amen. If you are that one that is blessed, say a loud amen. So in terms of, I want to buy this, be calming down. Do you hear what I say? Be calming down. I want to buy this. I'm going to go to the second aspect of it in the second service. Just be calming down. One of the young men that I told you about. Okay, I told you the story already. Don't buy this car yet. Later on, he returned back. He said, I am going to buy the, I have realized the reason to buy the car. Further reasons. I am not going to use it as a leisure car, except for so and so kind of purposes. And then I will use it as car hire. A vehicle hire, executive hire. You know, there are jeeps and those kind of things that some people hire at times for guests and so on. And when I heard that, I said, go ahead, pick it up. And he did it. And when it's time to go for certain kind of engagements, he drives in it. And then at other times, he uses it for this hire. When it's time to come to church or some friends, he just comes normal. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? It just comes normal. I'm not saying that if you have a big or anything and you can afford it where you are, that it is wrong. I'm not saying that at all. But just ensure that you know what is your size per time. And don't let anybody push you to assume a size that is not yours. Don't let anybody push you. And don't do things because, you know, when we started ministry initially, we were wondering at times how that some people were appearing the way they were appearing, and we had 544 at one time, and then I came into town with one Volvo. That was a Volvo with a sixth gear. It was quite solid then, and then a few of those kind of things. But I see people with a Jeep, patrol, Nissan patrol then, and all those, and I'm seeing, what is happening? I'm doing my best. We are preaching our best. Church money is church money, and our money was our money. But we had not had such kind of money to be able to buy any of these things yet. But I say, just right. Wow. Even some that came behind us in terms of ministerial work. And some, I was watching. One day, one guy had people come to him to ask for money for the vehicle because it was bought on hire purchase. Ashe. It was Boropose. How many of you know Boropose? Even in our younger days, there was even Borosput. Somebody would dress on account of another person's shoe. You would borrow somebody's and just knock it and say, man, I have arrived. Not knowing that it was some is Boropose, Borosput. Some of the people we knew in those days who were so... let me not go into details. Today, God helps us to move with effortless ease everywhere, whether it's London or anywhere, without any pressure on self or church or anybody. Because when you delay your gratification by doing the right thing, you will prolong your satisfaction. Easy come, easy go. Quick to show up, quick to fade out. Hallelujah. It's a new day. Will somebody lift up your hands where you are and give the Lord the praise for what you have received this morning? Lift your hands and lift your voice and say after me, say, Father. Say it louder, say, Father. Lift your voice and say, Father, thank you. Thank you, for your word to me today. I am grateful for your word. I am appreciative. Thank you for teaching me. Thank you for instructing me. Thank you. Adonai, be glorified, Lord, in Jesus' name. Open your mouth and pray. Speak to God. Is that all you will pray? In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Lift up your two hands and say this prayer after me. Say, Father, I thank you for your word to me today. In the name of Jesus, I trust you to be a blessing to my generation. In the name of Jesus, say, Father, help me to walk with vision, to possess vision and goals of excellence. Help me, Lord, to be a diligent worker. I refuse laziness and weariness. In the name of Jesus, help me, Lord, to walk in integrity. In the name of Jesus, help me, Lord, to maintain a reserve, not to be spendful or wasteful. In the name of Jesus, say, help me, Lord, not to be expenditure minded. Help me, Lord, to possess the wisdom of investment. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray. Jesus. The Lord heard and answered us in Jesus' name. I'd like you to pick this message and the one of the second service. I'm going to preach the second aspect of each of those points with varied illustrations. There is one coming to my mind now. You need to hear it. You know, so just pick the messages and go over them. But above all, put them into practice. The last point I mentioned about investment, some people, that's where the challenge is. I want to invest, but how do I go about it? Where do I go? What do I put in money that it will not go down the drain? How do I not lose the money? I have preached on areas of investment before. Maybe I'll look for that message and then and let you listen to it. But God will basically guide you. You start with the basic ones. There are instruments in the bank, and that is where to maximize the bank, not the borrowing place. But where they pay you for your money. Alright? Where they pay you for the money they took from you. And it can be negotiated also. Am I communicating at all? Alright, but God will give you the wisdom. There are some of us, God will open your eyes to the dream of the night and will grant you, order your steps. It might not be something very flamboyant, it might be something very basic. Water, it might be anything very, very basic. But God will show you where to put in money and where it can bring in money. You might start with something as just, I told you the story one time of one of our cleaners in the church in Area 1. And I saw a young man standing by him. You know, and she's meant to be a cleaner. I said, who is this young man standing with you? He said, he works for me. You, cleaner, he working for you. Okay, what work? He said, he sells recharge card for her. And she pays him interest. Young lady receiving cleaner salary, but is having somebody working for her, selling recharge card for her. She has left that status longest time. But that was where she started from. So it can be from anywhere. But God will give you the wisdom. In the precious name of Jesus. Give the Lord the praise. Take your seat 1 minute. While we quickly take a look at some of the things that we have this week. In all of this, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. As the Lord empowers us financially and resources wise, one of the ways in which we can show appreciation to God and also multiply is kingdom impact.